If you are into movies and movie discussions, you've come to the right place. Who am I, you ask? I am the Wiz, and I'm doing this review with...
Kim Jackman.
Kimmy, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Oh, good.
Happy to be here.
I bet you are. We'll see how happy you are right now. We are reviewing the 1997 sci-fi film Gattaca, starring Ethan Hawke, Uma Thurman, and Jude Law, directed by Andrew Niccol. I guess the first thing we should talk about is the fact that this movie is kind of a split movie, which is what I would call a movie where the critics and the audience have a wide difference of opinion when it comes to the quality of it. The IMDb and Letterboxd has the rating at almost an 8 and a 4, an 8 out of 10 mm-hmm. or 4 out of 5, which means that the audience thinks this is a really good movie. Whereas the critics at the time give it more around the 60 to 100. So they think it's like average. It's a little bit better than average, but it's got some good things in it and it's got some bad. But this became more of a cult classic as time has gone on. I am kind of surprised by. I'll put it this way, Kim. I could see in 1997 watching this movie and being fascinated by it.
Yes. We were kind of talking about that earlier, whereas, you know, the 90s,
yes,
like there was no technology, right? There was some, but not like we have today, and not nearly what we have today. So,
well, I'm let's not pretend that we were in the Stone Age, but yes, it was kind of, I guess,
pretty close to it. When I look back at my childhood, God. I'm like, oh, we had like nothing. We, you know. Now we have phones on our computers.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
So I would get back in 97 where people would be fascinated by this movie. But by 25 years after, I am a little stunned that people are still attached to this movie to a certain extent. I would think that the drop-off of this would have been pretty dramatic. But apparently some people still have strong feelings about this movie. And I kind of want to ask why. Because I
definitely want to ask why.
Okay, I mean, not to be like rude about it. Like, how could you like this? Like, no, like it's more like I want to understand where you're coming from here. At the end of this film, I felt that there was a really fascinating idea that just didn't have a good story behind it, or really good anything behind it in this. It seemed like the actor's number one motive, except for Jude Law, was suck the emotion out of everything. Just make
it... Well, I felt like everything... Like, were they supposed to try to make it like the characters were, like, robotic? Like, was that the goal? Like, I don't understand, like, what the goal was about having like barely any emotion in this film.
That was my question too. The only thing I can really gather as to why they act that way is because I think in older sci-fi films where they were showing utopian / dystopian futures is that people would just act robotic like that. It would be like, well, you have this thing you have to do. Your life is completely regimented. There's no reason to be frustrated about, hey, it took me X amount of time longer to get to work. Mm-hmm. All that's taken care of. So the emotions that would cause, the things that would cause those emotions, those frustrations or those happenstances are just gone. So there's really no need to react to anything, which I thought was kind of weird for this movie specifically. I don't see a reason why the actors in this are so muted, especially like Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman in this. Like, Uma Thurman plays her character like an automaton. Like, it's really weird.
So just for our listeners, the Wiz and I, we take notes, like, you know, as we're going through and watching the movie. And like, one of my notes was literally like, I thought that if Uma Thurman turned around and took her shirt off, she would literally have a sewed up opening in her back where the batteries are kept. Like, I was like, what? Like,
yeah.
She literally was like a robot. Like, I'm like,
And that's not like,
especially like
either.
As they go through like the movie, right? Like, I feel like, okay, maybe at the beginning they could portray like the time and like that, maybe that just goes with the time where they're supposed to be like stoic and robotic, and that's how they were built and learned throughout their childhoods because of the time with the technology and so forth. But like, I felt like as the movie went on, like, and they were throwing in different storylines and plots, or trying to anyway. Like, I feel like there should have been way more emotion behind it.
I would understand the emotionless if it was just how Gattaca was. Like, people at Gattaca portray themselves that way, and it's the way they move up. Then I would understand that. But even, like, outside of the areas, like with Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke's character, they acted the same exact way.
Right.
But Ethan Hawke's character didn't act that way around Jude Law's character. And Jude Law didn't either. So I guess it's a societal thing to a certain extent, but the movie doesn't really... How do I put this?
It still leaves you questioning, like, is that what it is? You know, like,
a good sci-fi movie, when they do these types of things, either, well, a not-so-good one will just outright tell you, or good one will just give you contextual clues throughout the movie to go as to why that is. Are the poor people doing that? The ones that aren't as advantaged are more emotional? Is that why the ones that are considered superior beings not doing it? Because of that reason?
Right.
I don't know. And the movie just doesn't really give you that context, really. So it just feels like they're just doing it to do it. And it's just like, oh, okay. Whatever. Whatever you say, guys.
Yeah, it's just weird.
I want to get to the idea of the movie, which is basically that doctors or scientists have found a way to... manipulate the genomic construct of your body so much that they can actually create quote-unquote perfect humans, or humans with as little defects as possible. Vincent, which is Ethan Hawke's character, he was a part of a family where his parents didn't do that for him, but they did it for his brother, which I guess gave him more of a complex later on down the road as to having to be better than all these people.
Right.
It provides something in the movie that will give that character the motivation, but it doesn't provide more to add on to it as the movie goes on. I think...
Like, I felt like the beginning of the movie was fine. Like, it was keeping my interest enough and explaining, like, what was happening and why it was happening. Like, I didn't feel, like, confused or clueless or like they were shifting away from the main plot. I feel like they did a really decent job with the beginning of the film.
Okay. I thought the beginning was fine, but I thought the setup was a little too long. It was funny. Me and Zero just finished The Matrix.
Okay.
And the setup for... I don't know if you remember this, but... The setup of the world of The Matrix was almost an hour long. And I was surprised that it was that long and that the movie still worked.
Right.
But because they balanced the amount of story and the storytelling of the world so well that the setup was worth being that long, because it made the story much more dynamic. In this movie, the long setup put more weight into the story having to work. And basically, just I think it cratered the film as soon as that setup was done, because you're adding these complex ideas into it, which I think are supposed to be allegories to racism to a certain extent.
Like, his character kind of states that in one of his lines.
Yeah, like, if you are born X way at this point, there's only one way you can live at this when that comes. Like,
I think he said, like, oh, prejudice. He said some one-liner that was like, prejudice at its finest, or, you know,
prejudice is perfected.
I forget what he said. It was like, everything is racism now or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think it's exactly what he said, but I think that was the point.
Right.
This is the new racism. If you aren't perfectly genetically mapped, you are essentially useless in this society.
Right.
And they could have gone somewhere interesting with that, but even with the idea there, it's not executed very well. And it's also essentially forgotten about at a certain point.
Like, throughout the rest... Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Do you want... So, I guess maybe just start with the beginning again, like, the director, right? We talked about this earlier on. Like, director did The Truman Show.
Yes!
Like, I love that movie, and I'm just surprised. Like, I just feel like the comparison between... So, he did Gattaca in 1997, and then Truman Show was released in 1998, and I feel like they're night and day. Like, I mean, obviously, they're two different genres, but, like, still, like, the performances, the writing, the acting, like, I just feel like it's just a completely different dial and quality film.
Now, let's point out a few things. So the Truman Show and this movie are very different movies.
Right.
And also, Gattaca is also written and directed by Andrew Niccol, whereas The Truman Show is written by him and directed by Peter Weir. Now, a director
can... Oh, okay. I thought he directed it, too. Okay.
No, no. The thing with the director, though, is that the director can look at the script and go, yeah, you got to change this part, and you have to do this. And can we write it this way, in this direction?
Let's so maybe he had a lot of notes there, too.
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely possible. Whereas the director, if you're the writer and director... It all stops on you. If you write something and you say, right. Oh, this is great, you better damn well execute it. Because if you don't, you have nothing to fall back on but saying, yeah, I fucked up.
Right. Like, there's no one else. Like, there's no one giving you notes and, like, helping you along the way almost. Yeah.
Well, possibly the producer, because they're the ones giving you money and they would want to have certain things in the movie. Maybe. But then if you have a sweetheart producer who is just saying, like, hey, I believe in your work. You go ahead and do what you want, then that's on them. They can
again, everything just falls back on their shoulders.
Exactly. Okay, let's get to the plot. You want to get to the plot, really?
Yeah, we should probably get into the plot. Just make sure you're not giving away any spoilers.
Okay, so Vincent, born by his normal human parents, and when he was born, he was born with numerous defects and in the future. And the future has made... genetic mapping so precise that apparently with a drop of blood, they can tell you exactly how you're going to live and how you're going to die. Basically, it's learned that he is going to die at a very young age due to a heart defect. God, I can't even say this succinctly, so it's more complex than it needs to be. So basically, he lives in a world where the people who are considered the best people are genetically perfect. They have very little defects. They are in perfect shape. They are very attractive.
No potential illnesses on the horizon.
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah.
And he's always wanted to be an astronaut, but he's always been told that unless you are one of those people, you have no shot.
Right.
So he devised a plan to basically fake being one of these perfect people with the help of a guy named Jerome, played by Jude Law, who is one of those perfect people, but got into a car accident and he became wheelchair bound. Essentially.
Right. Right.
So he is essentially using Jerome's genetics, become Jerome himself.
Taking his whole identity.
Right. Yeah. To trick everyone from Gattaca so he can be an astronaut. That is an interesting plot to a certain extent. And I thought that was an interesting way to make a movie and talk about identity and talk about certain things along those nature. But the film doesn't go that far because... the film goes almost everywhere in a weird way. It's a film about identity with some racial undertones. But on top of that, there's also a romantic subplot. And then for some reason, there's a crime drama subplot.
Yeah, there's like a crime element in there where, yeah.
And
there's like a, yeah, there's, it's just, I'm like, what?
Yeah, like I looked at it and goes, why is this necessary? And
right.
In the beginning, I was like, okay, like, it's being a little ambitious, it's doing different things, so let's see where this goes. And by
right,
the end
and
of
where
the,
it, let's see where it takes us.
Yeah, and by the end of the movie, it's like, that was pointless.
Yeah, pretty much. Crime, drama, sci-fi, they tried to sprinkle in a little bit of romance there, which was the most lame attempt I've ever seen. I was like, what?
I don't want to fault the actors when it comes to that, though, because it just...
No, not at all.
It just seems like the writing, it seemed like the Andrew Niccol had some ideas as to how he had this story running. And then, I am assuming this, I might be wrong, I guess he's just like, well, I may never be able to do this again, so let me just put in all the things I've wanted to do.
Yeah, and just that's be like exactly what how I felt.
Let's make it a crime drama, let's yeah. make it a romance, let's yeah. do this, let's do that, and we'll have this allegory here. And I'm like, oh my god, dude! Come on, do one thing at a time.
I want to throw a twist in. Like, it's just like, what?
Oh my god, the twist of this is just... Oh my god.
We'll anyway. Get there, trust me, but
yeah,
oh my god.
We'll get there. I came out of this film going, if Andrew Niccol just decided to do one thing in the movie, I think this would have been a lot better. But because he decided to do all these elements, I think it made the film a lot less deep than it thought it was.
It was almost like quantity, but not quality.
Right. No, you're absolutely right on that. I think the main important story was the story between, well, the story about Vincent becoming Jerome.
Right.
And if you wanted to throw that romantic subplot and then make Irene, who is Uma Thurman's character, the character that tries to figure out what's weird about him and then finds out the truth about what's going on and add the dramatic subtext to that, that would have been interesting. But again, like, it just seems like they
it
had...
It just didn't work. Like, it just didn't work.
They had an idea there, but then either didn't execute it on it right away, or Andrew Niccol was like, oh, but let's fool the audience and do it this way. I'm like, why? It's like, what's the point of that twist? Like, in the beginning, it seemed like Uma Thurman was trying to figure out, who is this Jerome guy?
Right, right. Like,
and then
why is he absolutely perfect?
Right. And then it just stops on a dime into a romantic subplot, which was like, what? So I was kind of thinking like, oh, so then she's going to figure it out. And then,
right.
No, like, because they portray Irene as this very intelligent, very capable person.
Right.
But
then they almost try going soft with her a little, like.
Oh, they try to do that.
Executed well. Like, she still seems so robotic to the point where she wouldn't be imperfect.
Yeah, there were.
Well, Wiz and I were talking about this earlier, and like, I was like, this was a really, I don't know, movie that made me feel very bored. Mm-hmm. And I told Wiz that, like, this was a terrible movie. And Wiz is like, no, because he's seen way more films than I have. So maybe it's just a terrible movie for me.
Yeah. I'm not discounting your opinion. I'm not saying
not at all. I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe there are way worse movies out there than this one that I just haven't seen yet. But out of all the films I've seen, I was like, this really wasn't great.
I think it's poorly executed. I will give you that. I think it's executed pretty poorly. But
right.
I have to say that the idea of the movie is solid. I guess the way it's squished down to a point by all these different subplots and different ideas, that the principal idea that was in the movie feels incredibly half-baked.
Right. Like, it's like they never, like, took it to fruition, and it never, like, it got, like, buried under all the extra little tiny plots he was, like, placing in. Like, it was just weird.
I want to say that I like Jude Law in this movie. I also like Jude Law. Like, I think he's actually a good actor that I...
Oh, look at you just setting me
up. Well, for what?
I love him.
Yeah.
He's so handsome.
I know. Yeah. Okay.
But I must say, Jude Law is so incredibly handsome and sexy, but...
Oh, boy.
I think I like the older Jude Law better. The younger, like, in this movie, he was really young, and mm-hmm. I was like, meh. Ethan Hawke, I thought, was more attractive in the film than Jude Law was, personally. But then I see Ethan Hawke as the age he is now and when he was older, and I don't find him attractive at all, but Jude Law is, like, really good looking. So, yeah, I mean, I just feel like Jude Law is really handsome as an older gentleman, and Ethan Hawke is not as attractive as an older gentleman. Whereas Jude Law, younger, he just looks too young to me. Like, I'm like, oh, he's like a little boy in this, kind of. And I know he's not, because he's technically a man, but
mm-hmm.
I guess compared to what he looks like now, obviously.
I mean, he's also sitting down throughout most of the film.
Yeah, this is true.
So
this is true.
I would say, if you really feel that way, see The Talented Mr. Ripley, where he is... in really
oh you were good... telling me that
yes.
I still haven't seen that movie.
Yeah. He's in really good clothing, he's shirtless half the film.
He's
perfectly tanned. Nice
now we're
hair.
talking.
Like, yeah, I think you'll change your mind on that one when you see him in that movie. I think at this point Ethan Hawke is a better actor than Jude Law, what we're talking about right now.
In this film, he was, too, I felt like. Not by much, but a little bit.
I have to disagree. I think I like Jude Law a lot more.
Really?
I think Jude Law is the only one that has emotions. He's the only one that shows anything.
But even his emotions were, like, not overly, like, you know what I mean? Like, not overly emotional. Like, I feel like he could have done more for what his character should have been.
It's measured. Absolutely, it's measured. But I just...
Right.
I looked at this, I was watching this movie, and, like, I guess the performance of his is a little more complex than I think the movie deserved, because you have this character who was one of the, or is one of those perfect people, and it basically has to give that up because, regardless of how perfect he is genetically, they'll look at him right now and go, "Well, you're useless to us."
Right. In this point. You're in a wheelchair and you're never getting out of one.
Even though he has more emotion than most of the characters in the film, it doesn't fit because they don't go into the crux of the complex thing about his character. So
Right.
It's just him molding, essentially, basically, and saying to the main character, Vincent, you have to do this, you have to do that, and da-da-da-da-da, and I'm like, okay. It seems like the depth was more in the movie to, like, oh, I want these different types of movie, these different types of stories, where it should have been, how are these characters feeling, what is making them tick, what is it like in the society, and through that we will learn about the society more, and it just didn't turn out that way in this, which I think is one of its big problems with this movie, is that they put more depth into the twists and the different ways that the different types of storylines than they did to the actual storyline that mattered. That's my thought on that, with that. The other thing that with the direction that I had a problem with was the music. This music did not sit well with me at all. I think that the music should have been more drone-like, muted.
Yeah, like robotic, more like a, you know, like fit the feel of it being them being robots, essentially.
I think maybe if they wanted to really go into the fact that they were more emotionless, yes.
Right.
But I'm just talking more along the lines of something that makes the film feel more cool, feel a lot less bombastic, whereas this felt like it came from a soap opera, and there's more dramatic flourishes that the film just doesn't have. When the music started really going up, I was like, oh, good Lord. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I was like, this is way overdone for what it should be.
Yeah.
For the music.
The other thing is the dialogue's terrible.
Yes. 110%. It's horrible.
The dialogue is very direct. Like, I mean,
it's like choppy.
Yes. Yes. Especially between Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman's character. Like, instead of giving you, like, emoting in a way that is like, oh, I caught that, it's more like, I am very sad. I have,
again, like, I don't know if he was trying to go for, like, the robotic effect, but I'm like, this doesn't even come off that way either.
The robotic stuff could have worked if there was more depth into what the society was like, but there's
right.
So it just feels
exactly off.
It just feels incredibly off. All right, let's do it.
Let's get into spoilers. I 110% agree with you on the dialogue, though.
Okay. We'll get into spoilers for Gattaca, the 1997 movie directed by Andrew Niccol. If you have not seen it, you can come back when you're ready. We're getting the spoilers in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. I think you have much more that you want to say on this, which will go into spoilers. So go right ahead. Let it rip.
Okay. So I don't know. Like, I felt like Vincent makes it onto the spaceship at the end. Okay. That's like the big, like, he make it. Like, that's the whole, like, what he is aspiring to do throughout this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like, okay, big deal. Like, I get that he wanted to be an astronaut, but, like, why? Like, what intrigued him about space? Like, I feel like they didn't get into that. And then, like, what made it so special? Like, he depicted in the movie that they're in, I don't know if they're in space or they're, like, landing on another planet or something, but they're gone for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why?
Yeah, they don't go into that. They go into where? That they're going to the moon Titan.
I missed that part.
Yeah, it's the moon on Jupiter, I think.
Like, zoned out at that point.
Yeah. But, yeah, you're right. Like, they don't go into, like, what made... I think they go into it a little bit in the beginning, that he just wanted to travel. He just wanted to travel and everything, and he found it fascinating. But a lot of other movies would go into exactly why the character finds it fascinating.
Right.
But in this movie, they basically say, like, that's his dream. Like, whatever, dude, it's his dream. Don't you have dreams? Don't you have things that you want? I'm like, yeah, bro,
yeah, but
I don't know his.
I have a reason why it's my dream. Like, it's just so weird. I thought that was weird. I'm like, okay, I really, like, this is stupid. He made it on the ship. Okay, great, big deal, you know? Like,
yeah.
So that was, like, my thought process there. And then I got a little bit confused at the end right before he enters the ship when the guy that is, like, I don't know, is he, like, his nurse or something? The guy that always draws his blood?
The doctor, yeah.
The character, yeah, the doctor. Yeah. Like, was that supposed to be, like, a metaphor for his dad? Because he was, like, I used to have a son that was, like, you know, not genetically perfect.
I was confused
on that part. I don't know if I was reading too much into it, but...
I wouldn't be surprised if that was written to be his dad after the other twist, but...
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I was like, is this supposed to be his dad? But then I thought throughout the movie, didn't the brother say the parents died?
Maybe I'm wrong.
This is how confusing this movie is.
But I think the brother said something that's like, we actually...
You outlived our parents or something. That's what he said.
I think. I'm not sure.
I think
but
he
like,
did, yeah.
Yeah, but like, I think that was meant to be, like, in a certain sense, his father, in a certain sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Or maybe like, that the like, father did the exact same thing that he did to make sure that he, which, okay, I don't care at this point, but, like,
it's still confusing. Like, if you're going to put that in there, like, give us some more context.
I think, honestly, that the doctor did what he did because he didn't want an HR violation for commenting on his dick so much.
Because, oh my god!
Because that's what was said in the beginning of the film. Or like, I really appreciate
his dick. I was like, what? This is disgusting.
I know. I was like, I really appreciate your hardware. They don't make it like this. Like, you tell me that every time. Like, what?
Like at first, when like he said that at the beginning of the film, like that went right over my head until like he was like, you tell me that every time. That I noticed, like, I mean, obviously he doesn't show it, but that he was like grabbing his dick and pissing, and I was like. Oh my god! like it took me like a minute, and then I was like, "What the? Why does he keep looking at it? Like, stop!" But I know like that's like his job to like screen them pretty much, so he has to make sure they're peeing. And then that's another thing. So like, he's peeing, but he has Jerome's piss in like a colostomy bag attached to his leg. So if he's looking at his dick, how do they pull that off?
I don't know. And then they did this again in another scene in the film. Where they're drawing blood, but then or Vincent as Jerome, like, freaks out and then gives them the vial of Jerome's blood. And it's like, oh, yeah, oh,
like,
oh,
it
was
too
clever.
Obvious for them not to catch that, the people that were drawing the blood. Like, I was like, what? This is so poorly executed. Like,
I know. Yeah.
Stupid. I'm like, no, this is stupid. So then, like,
I guess if the doctor is his dad, I guess that last scene was like that first scene was like, that's my boy, came from the right genes.
Like, he's like, oh, well, maybe you do have a little bit of perfection in you. Like, no, it's just weird.
Yeah.
And then, like, I felt like Irene working at Gattaca, like, I thought they pretty much had to be perfect to work there. Like, there was no clarity on who could work there versus who could not, because, like, she has a heart condition, too.
Yes.
So you can be a little bit damaged, according to them, to work there, but you can't be, like, the full-blown fucking loser. Like, I just didn't get it. Like,
I think they were trying to interpret more depth into that character that, which, you know, with characters, you want that. But then, like you mentioned, it just takes the concept and just, I guess, damages it or pokes holes into it. Honestly, I think this is just a sign of a writer that tried to get too complex with a story that didn't need it. And when you add more complexity into a story, you then have to make sure it fits within the framework of the story. And you find all these holes in there. Like, another example, when when people are starting to figure out who Vincent is, Irene figures it out within about an hour and 10 minutes of the movie. And then by an hour 13, she's sleeping with him.
She's like in love with him or something. Like,
wait a minute. It's like, how is this character, who is supposed to be incredibly intelligent,
right,
not figure out that either A, this guy's a fraudster, but at worst could be a murderer because it is believed... Because it's believed that an invalid or an invalid.
Invalid. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And I'm a degenerate. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
You need another writing pass on that, dude. It's not as clever as you think it is.
Like, it's stupid. Oh, and then, like,
good Lord.
And then it's like you said, like, she's supposed to be, like, when she finds out that he's an invalid, whatever, she's depicted as supposed to be more perfect than he is because she only has a heart condition. So why the fuck would she stay with him? Why would she sleep with him? Why would she make out with him? What, like, what is the attraction? There's no attraction there. Like, maybe if, like, he only had, like, one small imperfection, like, next to Jerome, then okay. But, like, he's supposed to be, like, the lowest of the low.
But, see, I don't think that's not my issue. My issue specifically is, I mean, you can explain away that she likes bad boys, and it's like,
I was just going to say like, that. Maybe she likes a bad boy.
Which can be explained away, okay? Right. My specific issue...
I know where you're going with this.
My specific issue with this is that she sleeps with him and continues the relationship after realizing that he's invalid, that he's a potential murderer,
and
that he's been lying the entire time of his entire identity.
Right.
Like, that's
and we didn't really get in when we were talking about the review earlier on. We didn't really. It was kind of hard to get into without spoilers that there was a murder in this film.
Oh yeah, yeah. But that's the thing too, that the crime story is so poorly done in this movie. It's like really badly done in this.
Right.
It goes through the same stereotypes of the detective. I got a hunch that something else is going on here.
Yeah.
And then there's a superior who goes, no, you gotta stick to the plan. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, why?
This is terrible. This is all just, like, so dumb. Like, really? And then, like they're leading you on to think that Vincent killed the original detective in the movie because the original detective was gonna find out who he was. And then it wasn't him. And then I'm like, what? Like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
I know.
This is so dumb. And then do you want to talk about, like, the supposed, like, big twist of this movie?
My God. This fucking lame twist. Oh, man. So there's two detectives that are following the case. One is played by Alan Arkin, and I believe the other is played by Elias Kotis. And basically, Alan Arkin is the stereotypical gumshoe who is like, we gotta round them all up and we gotta find out who it is. And like, I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
It's like, so stupid.
I missed you in Little Miss Sunshine, but seriously, dude. But, yeah. And he has this younger cohort who is like, no, we gotta follow the plan as which Gattaca
wants
us to.
But it was almost like the younger one was his superior.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the roles start to slightly reverse, where the younger gentleman seems to think that it is an invalid, no doubt, and the older gentleman seems to think that something is going on the inside that's causing all this.
Right.
It starts to turn around the other way. Well, not really, because the older gentleman is just doing what he is told to do, but the younger guy is like, no, something is going on, and it might be one of the invalids who are the janitorial staff who is doing this, for whatever reason. He comes to realize, I think an hour and 20 into it, that the picture between Jerome and Vincent are eerily similar. Yeah, and I'm looking at this going, someone just figured this out now?
No fucking shit.
Because like, the photo of...
It's just the glasses.
I know! The photo of Vincent and the photo of Jerome as Ethan Hawke and both characters, the only difference in the photos is that Jerome isn't wearing glasses and Vincent is.
Yeah.
That's it! And then you have this character, like, switching them back and forth. What is it that I'm missing? Something seems so similar. I'm like, dude! Really?
Oh my God. It was just like, are you fucking... Like, are you guys stupid? Like... I don't know. It's just bad.
And these supposedly mentally superior beings, these mentally superior people.
Right. Like, they're supposed to be super smart. And then, like, that's the, I think that was like one of your biggest problems. Like, they're supposed to be wicked smart. Like, they're supposed to be like unbelievably smart and like intelligent. And it's like, are you kidding? Like, they're definitely not. Like,
yeah. But
then when they find out like who really did it, I'm like, how the fuck did they find out that it was that guy?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't fucking matter. And which is why that entire subplot didn't matter at all. It was like, right. Why? Why
and
is it?
And then they're like, it's the guy, it's the detective, it's the
director.
Detective. It's the director that took over his spot that did the murder. And I'm just like, who fucking cares? Like, this is so dumb. Like, I don't.
Yeah,
but then tell them about the actual big twist.
Oh God! Oh, we didn't even get to that. The big twist is that the younger detective is Vincent's brother, and
the perfect one.
Yeah, and so in this dramatic twist, he goes like, "Haven't you caused enough harm? Haven't you? Do you think this is gonna? How do you think this is gonna turn out?" I'm like, dude, what? Like, in a movie that explored that theme more, I can understand where that twist would have worked. The film is but you would have to dedicate the entire film to the identity piece of
right.
of this movie. You would
right.
have to it would have to show that Vincent's I would say humanity is slowly deteriorating the more and more he's pretending to be this perfect being. But
right.
the movie doesn't do that. The movie
teeny tiny snippet of that is when he's running on the treadmill, and then they catch a snippet of his heart beating fast, and then he like walks to the locker room, and then gets in the locker room, and he looks like he's gonna like die because he's like his heart's beating so fast, and he's sweating.
Yeah.
He like falls down. That's like the only time they show that like you're really not that perfect, you know, like you're not Jerome, you're Vincent.
The point of the twist with the brother is to show that Vincent is his. Okay, let me.
What is the point?
Yeah.
like I don't get it. Like, and then my other thing is, and I know this. I mean, I'm not trying to like down to detectives or anything, but like,
mm-hmm.
for this movie, they're supposed to be like the elite of the elite, the most perfect. Like, and they portrayed his brother as such in the beginning of the film when he was genetically made. So why the fuck is he a detective? Like, there's other fucking professions that are even smarter than that. Like, you know, more intelligent. And
well,
oh, because they won't be able to put the big twist in.
that is likely what it is. I think they mention it somewhat in the story, in like a throwaway line, that there are people who are in law enforcement that are part of Gattaca. I think the brother is. It's a throwaway line.
That.
It's
yeah,
a throwaway line. So if you missed it, it's fine. It's really not that surprising. But the thing is, as well, that the older detective played by Alan Arkin isn't perfect. He isn't either. So I think it's just very
confusing.
It's something that needed more depth to explain. But
right.
then, again, so many different plot lines, subplots going on, that there is not enough depth in the movie to do that. Now, some would say, like, oh, then they would need to make it longer. And I'm like, yeah. They could have, but then would that really have worked for the movie? I'm not entirely sure that would have worked in this case.
I think he just would need to take, like, the, I don't know, maybe, like, a quarter of the way through the movie and just, like, rip the rest of the script and start over.
I think that, the crime subplot, I think, was pointless. Like, I after that, I was
But
like,
even some of the romance, like, the potential romance and stuff, I'm just like, they could have... I mean, I guess they could have kept that in a little, but executed it better. But I'm just like, really? Like,
I think the romance could have worked well if the societal, everything about the society was more in depth. But it just wasn't. The most that you saw of the larger society outside of Gattaca were slums. Were like outside you saw like a low income housing and ghettos, essentially, where they are rounding up invalids. God, I fucking hate that term. Like, it's so fucking stupid.
It is stupid. Okay, and so then I really liked in your notes, I'm looking through the Wiz's notes right now, I've got an inside view, is when he talks about, when you talk about the fucking dramatic conclusion of swimming in the ocean. Like, what? Like, yeah. I get that they were trying to, like, bring back their childhood and do that, yeah. but I'm just like, this doesn't work. Like, it yeah. doesn't work.
Yeah, so, like, in the beginning of the movie, it is shown that the brothers are competitive. But because the Antonio, who is Vincent's brother, is genetically perfect, he wins every time. Vincent has to drop out because he's about to pass out, injure himself, whatever. It just happens. Last time that they swam together, Vincent won. And Antonio, for some reason, it has damaged him ever since.
Okay. Like mentally, yeah.
Whatever, it's a swim race, but okay.
Right.
But then the end of the movie is just like, oh yeah, you want me to prove it otherwise? Let's go for a swim.
And they're in full suits, what? And then they just get completely naked, and then they get in, and I'm just like, this is so dumb.
Yeah.
Like,
and the conclusion is that Vincent wins, and Antonio has to stop because he's about to drown, like happened when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was it?
For some reason, I thought the brother died in the water because I, stopped paying attention at that point.
Okay. So that would have been,
but he didn't die, but, I'm like, I feel like that would have gone over better.
I think it would have gone over better if there was a scene afterwards that he brought his brother in and the brother was like, how are you able to do this? You are defective. You are this, there, or that.
Right.
And maybe a line basically saying,
why don't they make up? Like, just be nice to each other. You're brothers. Like, doesn't matter if you're, genetically perfect or not.
This could be something from the societal aspect of the film where those people are naturally arrogant and they're allowed to be because they are considered perfect.
Right.
So it could be the bruise of Antonio's psyche that his not perfect brother, his very damaged brother, has beaten him. So that could be the anger of how are you able to do this? How are you cheating? How are you doing this? And it could be something along the lines of, I just want it more than you.
Right.
I am willing.
Yeah, that's true.
I am willing to hurt myself to do this.
Right.
Whereas
right.
you're not. And
it's a good point.
That would be the catalyst of the brother finally understanding where his brother's coming from. Maybe a little bit of depth into that, but it's just not there. There's a little bit of a line of Ethan Hawke's character saying that, where it's saying, I'm willing to die for this. You're
right,
not.
Right, right.
And that would have been best line in that instance to put that point across.
Right.
Instead, it's a throwaway line. It just doesn't work. Okay, so Jude Law incinerating himself in the end.
Yeah, I was so sad to see him go.
Yeah. My question is why? why?
Also, too, when he's explaining, towards, maybe the middle of the movie, I think it was, or, uh-huh. towards the beginning, I can't remember, when he became handicapped, when he got into... But he didn't get into a car accident. He said he, walked in front of a car.
Yeah, he walked into the car.
But he almost said did he say he purposely walked in front of the car?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and I wonder, do you think it's because he had so much pressure riding on his shoulders to be that perfect person that he was made to be?
They don't go into it at all.
They don't, but, that's, what I'm thinking, because then why would he kill himself at the end?
With the way that the film is written, it seems like, and I might be wrong, but it seems like he did it to help Vincent.
Well, yeah, he stayed alive long enough to help Vincent. I think he's just staying alive to help him. And then, do you think maybe he was planning it all along because he purposely, walked in front of a car and now he's like, I just want to end my life? Or, do you think he just did it to help Vincent so nobody would find out that Vincent is Jerome?
I have no earthly idea.
Yeah, they don't really clarify that at all.
I don't know.
I guess it could be either way, either reason. I don't know.
Could be no reason. It could be that the director, the writer,
he
was
got
like,
really drunk and he's like, what's this fucking thing? Let me get in.
It could be that the writer of the film was like, you know what would be really metal? If Jude Law incinerated himself at the end and Vincent was Jerome the entire time. Yeah. That could be the depth of what it is. we don't know, and that's right. The problem.
Right.
Because at the
or
end,
maybe he did it for both reasons. Maybe he was like, I might as well kill myself because I'm never getting out of this chair, and I'll help Vincent. Like, who knows? Like, there could be both reasons. I don't know.
To me,
what a way to go, though. Ugh.
Oh yeah, and you don't hear screaming, and you don't hear like, well, yeah, not that I wanted to hear like, the screaming, but like, I'm like. Really?
It was so poorly done. I'm like, what did he do? Just like nod off in there when he got in? He turned it like there was no screaming or anything to depict that he was suffering in there. I'm like, when you get burned alive, like you're suffering.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh god.
But like, I guess the point of him burning is that there is no sign of him afterwards.
Right, right. Like it's just ash at that point.
Right. Even so, it's just like.
They just don't clarify it. I'm like, no. I have no idea what the no. heck's going
there,
on.
There is so little depth to each of the subplots that it just it doesn't feel satisfying in the slightest. But then there's right. other problems with the film that are so glaring that it's just like I don't even know if I want to know what the story is at this point. Because if I'm going to have to find out, I'm going to have to go through this terrible dialogue. And I'm like, well, I don't really want to do that either. So,
yeah.
Okay. Great. I am a degenerate. I am an invalid. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, stop it.
You just sound like an idiot.
Oh, God. I mentioned the editing kind of sucked. I think the main edit that I was like, where did that come from? Was when Irene finds out who Jerome she knows is Vincent.
Yeah.
And then they cut to them
the
having
sex scene.
Which I'm like.
And the sex scene is terrible. I'm like, this is. And it's like 2 seconds.
Well, it's not... Oh, okay, you know, some of us don't need 10-minute sex scenes to know they're having sex again. So,
no,
relax.
It's literally, like, 2 seconds, and I'm like... Yeah, like you said, the editing, like, when it cuts, it's, like, weird. Like...
Yeah.
Doesn't flow well.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like,
I'm not a pervert, I'm just...
I know.
Just like, what the hell? Like,
I know.
This is so poorly done, too. Like, and, like, I don't know what it's called, but it's almost like when you're watching it, it's almost like translucent a little bit, like the coloring and stuff
yeah.
of them having sex, like weird. And then, but it's not even like really showing them actually having sex. It's like they're just like, you can see they're, you know, they have no clothes on from the bottom up, and then they're almost like holding each other and kissing. And then I'm just like, I guess they're having sex now that he's a fucking, she finds out that he could have murdered somebody and.
Yeah,
that is so dumb.
I mean, there are women who are attracted to people that have done crimes. So that does.
Well, yeah,
happen.
There's
yeah,
people
yeah.
that like write to men in jail and all
yeah,
that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
But
captive,
know.
Absolutely.
She just didn't seem like that type.
I mean, it's not the worst sex scene I've seen. I mean, The Room has probably one of the worst sex scenes I've ever seen. But The Room is kind of special, so we'll pass through that, I guess. Oh, you don't even know what The Room is, do you?
No.
Ooh.
Oh God!
It's awful, but so good. But
it's awful, but it's so good.
Trust me. No, trust me. I'll tell you a little bit about it afterwards. But yeah,
okay.
But anyway, you want to get into final thoughts?
I give this movie a 1.5 out of 5, and that is because
Jude Law's handsome.
Yeah, Jude Law's in it, and he's handsome. And Ethan Hawke didn't look too bad either.
Uh-huh.
Again, I do have to agree with you. Where like. The concept of the movie was kind of there. It just was poorly executed, and I just feel like the writer slash director just kind of threw up all his different ideas into one film
mm-hmm.
where he wasn't clear on the direction that he was going towards the middle to end of the film. And so it made the film very confusing, and just it just didn't work towards the end. There was not a lot of emotion in most of the characters. Which again, maybe it was supposed to be that way, but there's no depth. There isn't enough depth to clarify that. And it just made me bored. You know, the dialogue was the worst thing in this movie. I was like, what? I can't even listen to this anymore. Like, it's not, there's no realistic dialogue in this. It didn't work for me. So. Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't know how people could rate it the way that they did. Again, maybe it was just really great for its time. I think if I was in the 90s and I watched this movie, I would be more fascinated with it. Now it's just kind of like, this is sad. So that's my final thoughts there.
Wow, you're giving it a better rating than I am. I'm giving it 1 star. I think the ideas of this were the most solid thing about the film, but everything else was a mess. The addition of all these different subplots didn't work, and the main story, which is the story of an identity and how the class structure itself usurps it to a certain extent, I think was not executed very well. The actors did the best they could, but with the dialogue that it was and the direction they were given, I think it was not very well done. Save for Jude Law, I did like Jude Law in this movie. The twist was bad. The aspects of the film, I think, were just not well executed at all. And I'm with you. I'm not sure where everybody is, why people are enjoying this movie so much. And I'm getting the feeling I'm about to find out at some point. But I came away from this film incredibly disappointed and wondering where
all... Me too. I was very disappointed. That's a great word for it. I thought it was going to be a lot better than what it was.
Yeah. Just a bunch of issues with this film that makes it almost unwatchable. I like the idea of it.
Almost. Yeah, almost unwatchable. I agree.
Yeah. I like the idea of it. I like the concept of where they're going at, but I just think it was executed incredibly poorly. So 1.5 star for Kim, 1 star for me.
I just want to be clear that the 1 star is for Jude Law and Ethan Hawke, and the 0.5 star is for the actual film.
You know, it's funny. I was looking at reviews of Letterboxd. I was looking at reviews for Letterboxd, okay? And yeah. A lot of the reviews are, if these guys were gay characters, this would be a better movie. If they were a gay couple, this would be a better movie. But at first,
that's interesting.
And at first, I was like, oh God, does everything have to be gay for everybody? But then and then after I watch it and go, you know what? That's not wrong. If at the end, Ethan Hawke's character just like pounded away at Jude Law's character, I'm like, you know what? This makes more sense now.
Yeah, not too bad. Like, yeah. Okay, well, maybe that would work. I don't know. Who knows? I would take it over what it is now.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay, film. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, Kim. So we got past that. And I don't think our relationship could ever have survived this, but we're still here and we're still strong. We still can make it, you know? So
we got this.
Yeah, I think we are going to be fine after this. So why don't we watch a movie that is still highly rated on IMDb and on Letterboxd, but I think is something that might have deserved those ratings, maybe? And
more than Gattaca?
That's kind of what I'm alluding to. Yeah, yeah. More than Gattaca. So we are going to watch the 2007 film Once, starring Glenn Hansard and Markéta Anglova, directed by John Carney. You mentioned this was a play as well?
Yeah, it's on Broadway, but I saw it at like a local theater, and it was excellent. But I don't think I've ever seen the film, but I saw it at a local theater near my home. And it was so, so good. So,
okay,
the music is excellent, and I'm really excited to see the film.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about this movie. And since I also am somebody who unabashedly loves romantic movies, I've been wanting to see this. But you know how it is. You have so many selections, and you know, I'll get to it, and you never get to it. So.
Right, right.
All right, well, that is it for this episode of I Am the Wiz. Tune in next time, where me and Kim are going to review Once, directed by John Carney. I am the Wiz.
And I'm Kim Shackman.
And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.